Well, well, well. It's the last Dan and Cody podcast of the year.
I think you would have been better off just saying the last Dan and Cody of the year. I think podcast is implied, being that they're listening.
Oh yeah, we're that big now where we can just be like, have you heard the new Dan and Cody?
In our lives? Nobody, when we say Dan and Cody, everybody knows that that's the podcast. In our lives, like in our circle, people know, oh yeah, we recorded a Dan and Cody. We don't say, we recorded a Dan and Cody podcast.
Right, right, yeah. Right? We've reached the stage in the movie The Social Network where the Napster guy looks at Mark Zuckerberg and he's like, drop the Facebook.
Oh, very good. The Dan and Cody, just Dan and Cody, or D&K, or dude, who's going to listen to greatness?
Mitch. We're already just like a symbol. We've established the symbol.
Sex symbol.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hold on to your sweatpants string, because we're going to get it real hot here.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
I came to the podcast today with a real simple approach. I said, you know what? I want something refreshing. So I had a LaCroix. And then, ooh, I decided, I want to loosen up. So I had a wine. And then, oh, I said, but I want some energy. So I drank a coffee. All of that has happened in the last 30 minutes. And let me tell you, feeling pretty good.
So are we playing a little bit of a game called Which Liquid Wins?
Well, the unfortunate thing is, like, I don't know how to tell how the liquid wins.
Well, if you feel drunk, the wine has won.
Yes.
If you feel energetic, the coffee has won.
Hmm.
And if you feel like you have a little hint of a flavored fruit, the LaCroix has won.
Well, I will have to say it's probably the coffee, because I chased my wine with it.
You chased your wine with,
yeah,
coffee?
Yeah, man. Did you know coffee beans are actually cherries? They're like coffee little cherries. Then they dry them up and they got the little beans.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. So sweet. You know, I felt, dude, like I was mixing it up.
Remember when we used to record this podcast like together in person?
Oh God, we were so into that.
Remember all the drinks that I used to like have? I'd have like four drinks with me.
I know. You brought that igloo cooler with you everywhere. It said Dan's drinks. And you'd open it up and
this one?
Oh no, I meant the igloo cooler, that the 5 gallon that had the you know, I'd hear, right. I'd hear the plastic running over the sidewalk as you'd pull up, as the wheels would turn.
Old faithful, I call it.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's, whew, it's a lot going on, but it's good. It's good.
So, everybody, Cody feels like shit today.
Ladies,
sounds like shit.
Ladies and gentlemen,
looks like shit.
I have RSV.
And guys, what RSV is, when a man loves a woman, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that he's just met, mm-hmm, you run a risk of getting this thing.
You, like, RSV sneaks up on you. Everybody talks about the clap, and everybody talks about herpes, but yeah, man, you get this RSV, and I'll tell you what, it's as if somebody has ejaculated in your mouth all day long, and it is not... It is not something that I suggest anybody experiences, because, my God, it is messy.
It's not the best. You're not the best. You're hoping for a Hoping your mate had pineapples?
No, it's just, it's terrible. I like, for those of you that have kids, don't get RSV because your children turn into the devil. I love my son to death. Amazing. My oldest boy, he's the first one to come into the house with the RSV. And he was miserable over the weekend. But not only was he miserable, he wanted to make sure that his parents were simultaneously miserable. So,
because when your kids get sick, their goal is to take you down with them.
And my son did it. I think he successfully took me down. And you want to know what? I let him do it again.
You'd let him do it.
I mean, like, you know, I slept in his bedroom like pretty much every night. We have a little futon couch in his bedroom. What?
Why'd you sleep in his bedroom?
Because he kept calling for me in the night, and the only way I could sleep is if, like, I was in the room, and then he stopped calling for me, because then I'd just be like, are you okay? He's like, coughing, and I'm like, I know, buddy, it's tough, and then he'd fall back asleep, and that's all I do, come into the room. So I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to sleep in that bedroom with him, and that led me to this current situation, which is terrible. Terrible.
I'm so sorry, man.
That's okay. A lot of people in this day and age would think I got that Omicron. And, you know, I thought maybe I had some Omicron. But, you know, when I found out my son was sick, I immediately took one of those Omicron tests. And I tested negative.
I'm sick of it. It's fucking Omicron. Omicron. Okay? I am a product of the Greek life at Frostburg State University. And Omicron is a letter in the Greek alphabet. I'm tired of hearing people fuck it up. Omicron. So get out of here.
So, first of all,
it's not a transformer.
You are definitely a product of the Greek symbols. just to be clear. Second, it is like the Omicron is a real thing, Dan. And it is so dangerous.
What the so shit dangerous. Are you saying?
What are you
Let
talking
me guess.
About?
You go to Chipotle? Do you go to Chipotle?
No, I go to Chipotle. What are you talking about?
Come on.
Chipotle.
Come on. Chipotle.
Chipotle. I mean, yeah, that's what I do.
Gosh, people love fucking up words. Been doing it forever.
Fragile. It's nice.
Or,
that's nice.
What's the score with aluminum versus aluminium?
Aluminium.
Is that a real
Aluminium is
an
English way to say it. Aluminium. They say aluminium, and then there's people that say Washington.
Washington. Oh, God.
Washington.
I hate that one.
Yeah, Washington. I got family that say, call it Washington. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? They say Washington. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Can we settle aluminum real quick?
I don't know how we settle how a word is said, being that it's just two of us and we're on a planet of 6 billion people, but sure, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, let's just settle the score. Like, I want to be on your same team.
Okay,
you know?
Like old days.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so, let's do that.
So both aluminum and aluminium have a long history of use referring to the metallic element.
Yes.
Commonly used as foil to cover food. Aluminum became preferred in the United States and Canada, while aluminium became favored throughout the rest of the English-speaking world. Boom. I think we have our answer.
I don't think that actually clarified anything other than that it's been changed because of where you live.
I'm going on majority rules.
Okay. So the majority of English speakers in the world are in the United States. Is that right?
No. The rest of the world says aluminium.
Yeah, the rest of the world that speaks English.
Yeah.
Do they say aluminum in Chinese? Or do they have Chinese name for aluminum? Are they
I don't know.
Do they say things like, Mi Hao Yang aluminum?
Well, I know for sure they don't recycle it.
I can't speak to that. But obviously you can. You have some experience with the Chinese and their recycling.
Oh, yeah. They don't recycle shit.
Oh, yeah. I know they don't recycle anything. Okay. All right. I'm going to put my hands up on that one, Dan, because that's a hot button issue. You just went hot button with me right there, buddy.
Is it aluminum or aluminium?
I think, and I am very much of the mindset that you say the word that you feel is best to you. So you say Omicron, and I say Omicron. And that's the way it is, and that's the way we live our lives. It does. It does fucking suck, but it's the way it goes, okay? So, you know what? Respect others, Dan. Stop being a dick.
Okay. All right. You ready for Christmas? You got your shit together?
So, here's the status. I got nothing wrapped. Nothing's wrapped. Tomorrow night is going to be a wrap event because the final packages arrive. And we're doing a thing. When I was a kid, we had a series where we had a few wrapped items. And then Santa would come. And it would be Gift City when we woke up the next morning.
So Santa would provide the icing on the cake.
So Santa was the real gift. So Santa would come. And then he would have, like, I had two other brothers. So at the tree, we'd have, like, our own sections. So that, and you kind of just guessed what your section was based off of what your interests and hobbies were. So it's like, okay. Oh, so here's Cody's, here's my brother Matt, here's TJ. We each had our own little sections, but they were unwrapped presents. They were just goods. It's like you walked into a, you know, like a Toys R Us under a tree. It was cool. And then
they were just unwrapped gifts.
Yeah, man. Like you had your own section of unwrapped stuff. So when you walked out in the morning, you're like, oh my God, look at all this cool stuff.
Yeah, right. Your mom was like, I'm not wrapping this shit.
Of course. Of course.
She was so, like, I'm just putting it out there.
My wife and I think we're going to have the conversation. We've kind of already started it, but I think we're going to go down the same pathway. I think we're going to do a few wrap gifts so my son can have the experience of wrapping stuff or unwrapping stuff. But some of the cool elemental things, he's going to wake up and he's going to be like, oh my God, Santa. What? So the stuff that was Santa, unwrapped was Santa.
Santa's
unwrapped. Santa ain't got time for that shit.
I see.
Santa's delivering presents all over the world.
I read a thing, and I think we do this. In fact, Jenny said, yeah, of course we do this, but I didn't know it was like an official thing, but there was an article reminding parents that, make the Santa gifts, the less expensive, luxurious gifts, because when the kids talk about the gifts at school, if Santa brought Billy, a pack of colored pencils and then brought Rhonda an iPad, the kid will say, like, why is Santa a jerk to me every year?
I think that there is a degree that we need to stop, like, pandering our kids. Like, so what? Whatever. My response to that kid, to my son, if my son said that to me, I'm like, well, things are a little different with Santa for them, I guess. That doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you worse. Just know that you're loved, appreciated, and taken care of. Don't you worry about what Gina got from Santa. What'd you get from Santa? I don't think that matters, man. It doesn't. Like, for them, it's all about the experience. And in the end, like, whether Santa brought that gift or your parents gave it to you, in the end, Gina still got an iPad and your ass got some colored pencils.
Yeah.
Your kid's not going to go to school and be like, Santa gave me this, but my mom gave me this. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
You're going to say, I got this for Christmas. Or, you know. And when you're one or two, do you ever remember the conversation you have with other kids about saying, like, oh yeah, Santa specifically brought that to me?
Not one or two. I'm talking like five.
All right, I'm so, okay, like, it's fine. Six or seven. Do you remember that conversation where you said, oh yeah, Santa brought me that? That was a Santa gift. Did you have that conversation?
No, I think it was you might be right. I think we just, like, it was just a trait of, like, what'd you get?
And I also think, like, especially in a really culturally diverse group of people, there's people that are Jewish that don't even talk about Santa. There's people that are non, like, they don't even believe in anything and they can't believe in Santa, like Jehovah Witnesses. Like, I went to school in grade school with a kid that was a Jehovah Witness. He didn't get Christmas.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, like, this poor bastard, he doesn't know what he's missing.
You know what? I think I need to, like, you bring up something very interesting. I think I need to give props to just the Jewish community in general. Like, they technically hold the keys to the magic of Christmas. In the sense that, because if, all right, I'm not Jewish, but if I was, how are you gonna compete with Christmas? With so you would probably, like, tell your kids, hey guys, like, don't be jealous of Santa, okay? Because guess what? It's all bullshit.
You know? You do know that that Judaism, like, they do give gifts, Dan.
Yeah, I know. But it's not on the scale of Christmas. Like, Christmas is more than the gifts. It's like, bah, hoopla, lights. But there's a lot of things that are not happening in a Jewish household that are happening in December in a Christian household celebrating Christmas.
No, that's probably a fair assessment. I have a few Jewish friends, but I know, like, some of them still partake in, like, lights. Like,
right. I'm not saying they don't do anything. I'm saying it's not to the scale of some Christmases. Sure. You know? And with young children, there's that jealousy aspect. And I'm giving props because I think, I don't know for certain, but I think that Jewish parents tell their kids, they spill the beans on the big guy, right? Just to put them at ease. And then they're like, but hey, don't go around telling everybody that. Let them have their fun. And I think that's fucking cool. I think that knowledge and keeping it in your pocket is cool. And they hold the keys, man, because you're equipping those kids with the power to be like, well, you know what, Jimmy? Guess what? Boom. They could drop the bomb at any time about the big guy.
That's an interesting perspective.
And I never got, no one ever spilled the beans on me. I never heard of anything like that, but I'm sure.
Nobody ever told you that Santa wasn't real? Come on, Dan. Even when you were like 6 or 7, get out of here. You kidding me?
Bro, I put it together like fucking, like Nancy Drew, or like a mystery movie at the end. I put that shit together like Saw, you know? It was just all started unfolding, and I like was like, oh no.
Come on, get out of here.
So this is how it works? That's why we wrapped the press. Oh, that's my mom's tired. Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay.
The world started crumbling.
I mean, is it a crumble? In the end, you're still getting gifts.
I'm really hung up on this, man. I want to talk to,
You know what you could do? You want to be cool, like, you know, Jewish parents, then, is the way you're viewing it? You should tell Moxie, Santa ain't real. Don't tell the kids class. Don't tell the kids in class. Just...
No, because it's too much fun. It's too much fun right now.
All right.
She's in, you know? She's in deep. Guys, she's in deep.
She's in kindergarten right now?
Yeah.
So none of the kids at school are telling her that Santa's fake? She's not coming to you at all ever saying, like, is Santa real? The thing is nothing. If you're a kid, why do you question something that's, like, paying you?
Because it's so great.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's so great.
You believe in it for longer than you probably should. Because you don't want it to stop.
Well, we've already had to make some concessions, you know?
Okay, like what?
She knows Santa at the mall. Like, that's a helper, we've told her. Because on some of those mall guys, they got to step it up. Some of them, she's already like, I don't know if that was Santa. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. He can't be at every mall, so he sends helpers. You know?
Oh, yeah. I get it. Yeah. Or I just don't take my kid to a mall and have him sit on a stranger's lap.
Well, where do you take him? The fucking aquarium. We know where you take him. You going to the aquarium Christmas Day or what?
Bitch, I got my tickets. Okay. I got my tickets.
Yeah, man. So you're getting there. You're getting there.
Yeah, I mean, Fitz is all into Santa. He knows Santa's coming. There was a little box the other day. It was like a present box that Madeline had out. There was nothing in it. It was just like one of these like harder boxes, like kind of a gift box. And Fitz is like, present for Fitz? And Madeline's like, no, there's no present there, buddy. It looks like a present, but there's nothing in it. And he's like, Fitz opens present? And I'm like, what the hell is my kid talking in third person for? Who is this
Fitz
kid?
Fitz open present.
And then he opens it, but he ends everything with like a like up, like on the up. He's like, Fitz opens it? Huh? Yeah, man, open it. There's nothing in it, kid. What are you doing? Anyway.
Get in there, open it. There's a really cool website called SantaUpdate.com.
Yeah.
And it's just a fully functioning website that is like incredible, like just fake news about the big guy.
True 2021 fashion.
True trickery, man.
True like disinformation.
There's a podcast. There's the tracker.
Wow, that's really great. A podcast?
Yeah.
What does the podcast say? Things you need to know you don't know about Rudolph? Is this for real?
SantaUpdate.com.
Oh my God. That's a 13-minute podcast about what you don't know about Rudolph. Oh my God. No, that's amazing. Good stuff.
Tony commented just now, Fitz gets aquarium tickets.
For the day of Christmas, Tony. Don't you forget it. He's going to love that. This poor kid, he's going to be like, I fucking hate the fish. I'm so tired of fish, Dad.
Cody's like, let's beat the crowds. Got to get to the aquarium.
Hey, we've got, I'm going to do a outside camping event for the first time next week with the youngster. He's got a new backpack or a new sleeping bag he's getting for Christmas. I'm going to set the tent up in the backyard. We're going to hunker down outside, have our own little camp out. I'm excited.
That's why you guys get fucking sick all the time. All this goddamn camping.
I'm introducing him to it. Just get out of here. What the hell are you talking about?
You guys laying outside in the woods. Like, that's how you get it. Yeah. That's how you get it.
Yep. That's how you get it. That's how you get it.
That's what happens. We were talking about NFTs like a couple podcasts ago. I think I'm off it. I'm skipping the NFT train. I just don't like it. I'm a physical acquisition person, you know? But this article, the headline says, NFT of Merry Christmas. It was the first text ever sent. Sells for $121,000.
That's it? The first text ever?
NFT of the first text ever.
Okay. All right.
I don't
The
get
funny
this
thing
shit.
Is like, you don't like NFTs right now, but in my opinion, if anything regarding crypto, this is the actual thing that makes it valuable, because it creates unique digital assets. And I think that's why it's interesting. You talk about like owning stuff, like you can own one-offs and be the guy that owns the one singular one that is designated the one-off. And when we move into a space where everything's digital and owning things digitally becomes valuable, which this is already doing, you know, that's where the value is, man.
Why do you need a picture of the first text message ever sent?
I don't know. Why do you need a Picasso?
And then it's like, okay, well, of course, no one can get the first NFT. So, like, how about the second NFT? Then that's a little less valuable than the first one?
Yeah, just like in anything else. like in trading cards. Yeah.
So it's fucking bullshit.
No, it's not.
So then somebody's going to be running around like, well, I'm only going to spend, I only want to spend like $50. So I'm going to get the 600th NFT.
I mean, this is coming from the guy that says they made 1,500 of this one-off fucking pop. 1,500 of them. And they're all numbered 1 to 1,500. I got number 7. I guess
and
it's
okay. And I can
okay.
hold it in my goddamn hand. And I can mail it to the sucker who I sell it to for 500%.
And you can do the same thing with NFTs, you bonehead.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, yeah.
I just
explained it to you and you get it now, but now you just don't give a shit. Get out of here.
So dumb. This text was sent on December 3rd, 1992, and it was sold by the British wireless company Vodafone. And proceeds from the sale went to the United Nations Refugee Agency.
I bet the text message was, you up?
Yeah, no, it was Merry Christmas.
Oh, it was Merry Christmas. Oh, okay. It would have been funnier if it was, you up?
The message was sent, or like the first text message was a number 8 and then like equals, 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 and then like the point. So that is a look like a dick. It was a dick pic.
Naturally. Yes.
The message was sent by Vodafone engineer Neil Papworth from his computer to his manager in the UK. And the manager received the message on a 4-pound orbital phone.
Okay, so a satellite phone.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They were in the middle of end-of-year events, so he sent him the message, Merry Christmas, said Maximilian Augst.
That's cool, man. You don't think owning the first NFT of that is worth something?
No. No, I think my urine on pavement is more valuable than that NFT.
Okay. Well, you're part of a definitive sect of people that agree with you. So I get it. I understand why there's value to it. It's a scarcity thing. So, you know.
There's no stopping this. There's no stopping it. Like when Logan Paul like jizzes on a piece of paper and takes a picture of it and it makes an NFT of that picture, someone's buying that. Yeah. Someone is buying that. And then someone's selling that. Like I got a piece of Logan Paul jizz on paper. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's a weird example that you're thinking about Logan Paul
like,
jizzing on something and selling it. What are you talking about?
Mike Tyson, spit in a cup, take a picture of it. NFT, very valuable. That's a champion spit right there.
First of all, this is like the Wild West right now. These values, probably not long term. You have to think about things that are significant, that matter. For example, that text message, first text message ever, likely will appreciate in value. A man's painting of a dog, you know, with a big schnoz or something that looks weird or artistic or artsy. I just don't see the long-term value in it. But things that actually matter, I think make sense. If I'm, who is it? If I am Quentin Tarantino, and I want to take each frame from Pulp Fiction and I want to sell those as individual NFTs and I'm Quentin Tarantino and it's part of a collection, that's going to be valuable. And he's going to make a load of money off of that. And that's going to appreciate in value over time. In my opinion, I think that's what the blockchain does, man. And I'm not like a big crypto guy, but if there's one thing that I understand, it's that blockchain, the fact that you can show proof that it comes from this and you can keep a track of it, it's better than selling a prop. And I say that because you can track it and you can't fucking track a prop most of the time. Things get lost over 20 years and then you have to believe a story a guy told you.
Then you're like, oh, wait, I forgot my fucking email password to this stupid website wallet that has all my NFTs in it that are worth dog poop.
I'm not arguing whether or not like there's some shortcomings to it, because there are. There's just like there's shortcomings to, again, buying collectible items. You know, for example, I can own 1,500 NFTs, but I could also own 1,500 Funko Pops, but then I have to figure out where the fuck am I going to put 1,500 Funko Pops? So, easy. Like, you know.
On the wall.
On the wall. But, you know,
on the wall.
There's ups and downs. There's, you know, nothing's ever all cherry and sunshines. So, but you got to do what you got to do. Northern California, 6.2 quake.
Oh, really?
California sent out, and I've said this, we've talked about this a little bit in the past. The state of California has a early warning detection system for earthquakes.
That's a thing?
That is a thing. On your phone, you can download the app, MyShake app. MyShake. It warned people, some people up to 10 seconds before the earthquake hit them.
Oh, that's helpful.
So they're able to find cover before the quake starts to shudder. And this was one of the first super successful tests of this ever. This is a game changer, man. Game changer.
10 second warning.
10 second warning. That's huge. 10 seconds allows you to grab your kids, get under a table.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
What do you think? What are you going to do?
I always hear different shit. I hear like get in a bathtub. I hear.
Yes, but this is in the scenario that like a bathtub is like a tornado or something.
And then I hear like stand in a door frame.
Yep, door frame is one of the more stable points in your home.
And then I heard crouch lower than something higher that can like take an impact. So like.
Yeah, like a table.
Right, but you wouldn't go under the table because the table could like pancake. I think going under a table is real dumb.
I mean.
You okay. Know?
I would disagree with that. I think a table's going to hold up a whole hell of a lot better than like...
You think a support beam of your house would hit your table and like the table would stop it?
Where in your home do you have a table that's right directly underneath the support beam that's going to hit right down the middle of your table?
How big's the quake? How big's this quake?
Get the hell out of here, man.
It's going to rattle you, man.
6.2.
It's going to rattle you.
I mean, the truth of the matter is like you take cover. However you can get cover, whether you hide under a table, get in a door frame, whatever it is, 10 seconds. That's a lifetime.
Somebody was like, don't you run outside? I don't think you do, because power lines, right? Yeah. Yeah, you don't run outside. Definitely not. I think I've been in like, feel, like earthquakes I can feel, I think I've been in like 5.
Okay.
And two, and out of those 5, I think 2 were like scary.
Sure.
Like, whoa, what is that?
Well,
you know,
we will have a big one hit here in our lifetime, Dan. I think it'll happen when we're still living here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will.
I mean, it'll hit. It'll hit hard, baby.
I ain't scared, man. I'm scared of fires.
Really?
Yeah, I ain't scared. I ain't scared of no quake. We had this conversation. I'm scared of fucking hurricanes, man.
I'm not scared of hurricanes in California. Are you kidding me? In California?
No, not out here. I'm saying like I'd rather withstand an earthquake than like a hurricane in New Orleans or something or Florida.
Sure. That's fair. I get
that
it.
That shit's treacherous, yo.
It's bad news, man. It's bad news.
That's bad news.
I get it.
Wow. Well, now we got 10 seconds to gather up the shit that you love.
Well, I mean, to be honest, like, if I had 10 second warning, I'd be in a much better place than if I had no warning. It's like saying, oh, there's a gunman within that's going to be here in 10 seconds. What are you going to do? Oh, well, if a gunman's going to be here in 10 seconds, that gives me enough time to get out a window or hide or barricade a door or do whatever I need to do.
Let's get real here. There's no way you can get out of a window in 10 seconds. It's not happening. And if you say there is, then the next podcast we do, I'm having a stopwatch and you're going to sit in a chair and we're going to see you get out of a window in 10 seconds.
Okay. I have no problem with that. You're going to be
challenge accepted.
You're going to be so disappointed. You know what? Even better. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you. We're going to do, you and I will do a live video feed with my car, 10 seconds. I'm going to show you sitting in my car. I bet you I can get out of the window of my car in 10 seconds.
No, that's going to hurt your car. Do it like at your house, like a window in your house.
Oh, that's going to hurt my house, which has much more value than a car. Okay.
There's no way, man.
There's no way I'm getting out of a window in 10 seconds.
Yeah, because first you got to you don't know when the 10 seconds occur, because like everyone gets this notice.
Yeah.
And it probably gives a weird noise.
Sure.
That's if their phone is on them. Then they pull out their phone. That's three. That's 2 seconds.
If you have the MyShake app, I think
so
it
really
gives
you 7 seconds.
It gives you the beeping noise that you get when a child's been kidnapped.
Right. So, okay, that's perfect, because I know that beep, and sometimes I'm like, meh, child got fucking taken.
Sure.
And I don't look at it.
Sure.
So then some people did that and then looked at it, and then they were like, oh, shit, I have 5 seconds now.
Right. Okay, that's fair.
You know?
The problem is if you get that message 10 seconds when you're sleeping in bed, it's not enough.
No.
But.
Definitely not.
I mean, I think from a time standpoint, like if I had 10 seconds in the bed, the alarm goes off. It's like, oh, what? What the fuck? Let's just count me down. Count me down right now, Dan.
All right.
Okay. 10. Ready? Beep. No, hold on. It starts beeping. Beep, beep. Now count.
Beep, beep, beep. 10. Oh, 9. 8. Oh, 7. Oh, 6.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. 5, up. I got to run across the house.
3.
I cannot even get into my son's room in time, dude. I'm like, wife, grab, get under the thing. Oh, shit, we're all shaking. Like, yeah,
we're quaking. 10 seconds is just enough time to know that you're fucked.
You're better off not knowing.
Yeah, 30 seconds, I think you got time. 30 seconds, you could collect some valuables.
Okay.
You know?
Well.
We got a message. John says, what's up, brothers? You guys should get this super chat. Ironically, I'm scrolling live videos to donate.
All right, what's up, man? Okay. How you doing, John? Thanks for scrolling through us. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thanks, dude. I hope
you guys should get
spam.
The super chat. I'm still liking and subscribing.
That's
thanks, man. Appreciate
you. Dude, that's our first comment ever from a live video on YouTube.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Ever. Way to go, John. Thanks, man. We appreciate you. But yeah,
hey,
man.
Screenshot, NFT, boom, $300.
You could. All I'm saying is you could, Dan. That's all I'm saying.
Screenshot, 300. Wait, let me spit on it. Oh, and then screenshot it.
Get out of here. What are you talking about? Get out of here. Get out of here. Anyway.
Swoosh me, bro.
Okay.
You ready for... Oh, man.
Really?
This one's crazy.
Okay.
KFI AM 640. 5 children dead. 4 critically injured in bouncy castle accident. Did you hear about this shit?
Yes, I actually did.
The bouncy house.
It was whipped up by some wind and fucking just zipped them. God damn it.
This exact situation,
right,
was in an episode of a hit Fox TV show.
What's that?
Called 911.
Oh, yeah. William Shatner, the Shatman.
911 covered this.
That's right.
Shit.
A man decided to run in. William Shatner.
Four of the children initially killed.
Okay.
It was a school year celebration.
Okay.
The bouncy castle accident. Were identified as 2 boys and 2 girls in year 6. Tasmania Police Commissioner Darren Hine confirmed, which means they would be either 10 and 11 years old. So, basically, the castle just got swept up by the wind.
Right.
Picked these kids up, shook them around.
And then they suffocated.
And boom. 10 meters or 33 feet.
That's all it takes, man. 33 feet and your kids are turned into jello. It's unfortunate. I just
if it's windy out, especially in Southern California, those winds.
Yeah, Southern California, it's like if you're in a neighborhood and you have this in your yard, you're probably not living on a piece of property where you're going to have a problem. But if you're somebody that's got like 8 acres and you've got like, you know, your backyard, and your backyard's like giant, and it just, you have a runway of space. Like where I'm, like where I grew up in Idaho, everybody's got this house on this giant plot of land. And then, you know, you put one of these bouncy houses out there, a gust of wind's going to grab that son of a bitch and it's going to zip it. I mean, it's going to take it into the next town. Like that's how much wide open space there is. And that's one of these situations, man.
When you look at it, these things are just hot air balloons without the basket.
Right. You're absolutely right.
You got to tether these things better.
Right.
What happened to like your dad's tent stakes, you know?
Right. Your dad's tent stakes.
Those 80s stakes.
Yeah, the plastic ones with the hook that you'd boom, 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 boom. Yeah, man.
And you, like nothing's getting out of that.
Sure.
You got to tether these things better.
Well, you know, if you don't have somebody overseeing your bouncy house installation, you're doing it wrong, truthfully. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, there's just...
That's why we pay for professionals, people. Know your professionals, and know your professionals in the bouncy house industry, or it could be your kid's life.
Dude, it's a moon bounce. Just want to let everyone know that. I'm from the East Coast, and it's a moon bounce.
Talk about a downer, Dan.
Sorry. Hey, did you hear about all those kids?
Did you hear about those dead kids? Oh, hell yeah. I heard about those dead kids. Big news. You know,
Maddie's pregnant. Congratulations.
Shut your mouth right now. Not happening. First and foremost, you know, we're dealing with a lot of shortages across the world. Well,
yeah. No COVID tests.
No COVID tests. Everybody bought all their COVID tests. So McDonald's is in Japan. They are they're having to limit the amount of fries. They're only selling small portions of French fries in Japan until the 30th of December because they are experiencing a fry shortage.
They're low on taters?
They're low on taters, man. They usually would receive things from Canada, specifically potatoes, but all they can order right now are small French fries until the 30th of December. Now, I don't know how big a large French fry is in Japan versus how small a small French fry is. Large
it
French
can't
fry.
Be like a large in the U.S.
It can't be. I mean, they give you a bucket of fries for a large. Large French fry in Japan. McDonald's. I mean, do you think it's the same size?
But can't you get around that?
In what way?
Like I'll have four smalls.
Yeah, you probably could, but it's like the bigger, you know, the bigger plan is like for most people, they're not going to do that. They're just going to be like, okay, yeah, I'll have a small. I guess I'll do two if I really want it.
That's the American in me trying to like game a system to get exactly what I want.
Yeah. Well, you should probably do that.
Whereas I feel in other countries, they're like, well, those are the rules.
Right.
Or I'm going to get caned.
Right.
Do you get caned in China?
In China?
Is caning a thing?
Where is caning legal? I thought that was only in like Indonesia.
Like Singapore?
Yeah, Singapore.
Singapore, they're caning everybody for God knows what. You steal a pack of gum, you're getting three whips.
Yeah. Caning is a method of, well, that's canning. How the hell do you spell caning? Caning?
What countries still use the cane?
Caning in Singapore. It does take place in Singapore. I mean, that's
Malaysia,
yeah.
Zimbabwe, they love a good cane.
They cane people in public. Can you believe that?
That's some... Dude, I kind of respect it. That's on some, like, embarrassment level shit. Like, they're still trying to embarrass people.
Respect a caning?
Like, they're still trying to, like, teach others. By like they're trying to teach lessons over there,
dude. That's an old school way. That's like, I am the king, don't get out of hand, let me show you what
this
happens.
This is what the fuck happens.
Here's a parental man, it's fucked up. I'm not okay with
that's
gaming.
Some shame shit. I'm kind of down.
No.
They're like, you see this
wowzer,
here's what we do in Malaysia when you steal a pack of gum.
My god.
Three of those bad boys, and then everyone is like, we're not taking gum.
Oh my god. I can't even say anything to this because it affects me. It affects my guts.
Getting caned?
Yeah, all of this idea, like the idea of caning somebody, even the fact that you're just so casual about it, shows that, like, watching somebody get caned, here's the thing, it's not much different than being whipped. Because they don't hit you with just a blank stick, right? It's normally reeded, which means they cut it so that when it slaps, it spreads.
Yeesh.
So it's like, whoosh, and then it just spreads out. Like what, for example, I think it's very much like those, do you remember when you'd go in the library and they have the newspaper on that stick?
Yeah.
And it was folded on that stick, and you know how that stick was like kind of cut in different places? It was like that. Whoosh, and then it would just spread out across your body.
Yeesh. But look, like
died
those heavy,
man.
Those really heavy punishments and public shame,
right?
Keep people in line. It's the fear. Fear always controls.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard. And I'm not surprised, Dan Hill. I'm not surprised.
Fear controls. Ask my mother. Fear controls.
It controls certain people, yeah.
Scare the shit out of people and they will do what you like. Or they will not do.
Or you'll get the complete opposite and they will just say, fuck you. And then you have a rebellion on your hands. Way to go, COVID. Way to go, COVID. Anyway.
I'm gonna rise up. Oh man. Let's I got a champion of the week.
Oh really? You have a champion of the week? Excuse me, that sounded disgusting. I apologize. Champion of the week? You mean we have this week's
champion of the week?
The champion of the week.
Oh, that was good. That
felt good. Our champion of the week this week is the president of Malaysia. He caned seven boys this weekend.
So we went from caning to more caning?
I'm just kidding.
Champion of the week is the prime minister of Malaysia. Seven little boys were caned for stealing Swedish fish out of the grocery store bin. You know, the open candy bins that are so well known, that used to be so well known in America until they've been outlawed.
The children who can still talk after the caning said they'll never do it again.
Wow.
Now, this story is really sweet. It's an Uber driver who befriended an 88-year-old passenger.
Okay.
And then quit her job as an Uber driver to become this man's full-time caregiver.
Really?
Jenny Tekletsian.
Jenny Tekletsian?
Tekletsian.
Okay.
52, drove around in a RAV4, picked up Paul Webb of Columbus, Ohio, picked him up to take him to the phone store so he could get his phone fixed.
Is this written that way, or are you describing it this way? I just want some clarity.
No, this is me. I'm taking liberties.
Yeah,
like a
the phone store.
The phone store.
The big bright lights that read phone store. Yes, continue.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, you know?
They went to the Verizon. Phone store. Yeah,
Verizon.
Okay.
I didn't want to give Verizon the...
You don't want to give them the plug? Right, right.
I didn't want to give them the ad, you know? Pay us, Verizon. Because his cell phone was broken. Of course, he's 88.
Right.
I bet it wasn't broken.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I bet it wasn't either.
They turned it off and on again.
Yes. I get it.
So, like, she took him there, and, like, he, like, really just opened up when they went on that ride, and they stayed in touch, and they would call and talk to each other, and then slowly, like, they went out to lunch with each other, and they would take turns buying, and she said the hardest part about becoming, like, his full-time caregiver was this man's children. They were like, okay, this someone's trying to move in on dad and, like, take him down, take all his money, and, like, what do they call that? Like, taking advantage of old people? That crime? What's that crime?
I don't know. What is that crime?
There's definitely a crime of, like, abusing elderly.
Yes. I don't know what the name of that crime is, though. I'm not into geriatric law.
Okay. Sorry. But it's hardcore. Like, you get in big trouble.
Sure.
If you scheme in old folks.
Right.
But, she could tell he was lonely and sad, and she had a feeling that he needed more help, and he does have dementia, and over the weeks they continued to talk, and their relationship grew, and now, I mean, she's making less money now.
Right.
Taking care of him, but she's like, this is my calling. And I just think it was really sweet of Jenny, you know? Good on you. Champion.
Champion. You gotta love those people that are willing to do nice things.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I mean, I don't know about the whole less money thing. It sounds like this is much harder than driving Uber.
This kind of,
you know,
like, yeah, it does sound much harder than driving money. This kind of brings me to this thing that I know this kind of, like, sidesteps your whole, like, champion of the week thing, Dan, but it brings me to this thing that, was it you or was it Marshall that sent it the other day?
Oh, on the podcast that we did about, like, helping people for yourself. Like, taking advantage of the
No, I'm talking about something that just happened the other day. Was it you that sent the video of the guys in the grocery store that are like, are you...
Can you buy my lunch?
Can you buy my lunch? Yeah, can you buy... Give me, like, $3 for... can you buy this gallon of milk for me? Can you buy eggs? I just don't have the money. I don't have the money.
And then they do it. They say yes. And then they're like, actually... I didn't need money to buy eggs. Here's $500. And then they start crying. And they're like, I just wanted to get you some eggs. But, yeah, I sent you that. And I was like, I don't like the challenge. Like,
right.
This, like, rite of passage.
Sure.
Where, like, they... Yeah, and I was like, if they didn't want to buy you that lunch, that would have been all right.
Sure.
You know, no one's required.
Right.
But how are you relating that to this?
Well,
to this
I relate it in that I did, like, it just made me think about that. That's all. I mean, I can't really relate it as, like, oh, this is the same versus the other. It's not. But it is that idea of, like, you know, it's not.
You don't have to quit your job and take care of people who have dementia after you give them a ride and take less money because you think it's sweet. You don't have to do that.
You can, though.
You totally can. But you leave it open for other Uber drivers to make the money that you would have.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
who are you helping? Who are you helping in the end, right?
Yeah. I'm saying drop that old man off and turn on your app again.
You're available. You're ready for the next ride already. Okay.
Yeah. Get the next ride. People get too attached.
Oh my God. All right. Well, And I guess that's this week's
Champion of the week.
Oh, Dan. I think we've come to it.
I think we have too. Like, your nose has just gotten so awful. Dude. Cody is currently just mid-snot cleaning.
Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, it's literally like I just blown like seven guys. And I'm just blowing it out of my mouth and nose all day long. It's like it's in my sinuses. And for those of you that are curious, no, I don't blow guys. But I'm just letting you know that this mucus, the buildup, RSV, it's not good. It's not good.
It's not good.
Don't get it. That's all I'm saying. Wash your hands.
Do you remember that that picture I sent you? That like baby thing that you suck the snot out of their nose?
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's the worst thing. Ugh. Gross. Like
I'd do that for you. I would do that for you right now.
No, you wouldn't.
Just get a little strong.
Just so you know, if I was a friend, I would never let you do that to me. But if I was your enemy, I would say you have to. You know what? I would say I would cane you if you didn't do it to me. And I do it in a public forum, and I'd be like, this man did not suck out the snot of my mouth. Cane.
Yeah, I mean, just sometimes your children need to experience discomfort because I'm not sucking the snot out of my child's nose through a tube.
Good move. Neither am I. I'm not doing it. I refuse to. I mean, unless it's my child's life. But you're right.
Right. Guys, we want you all to have a very happy holidays, safe new year, Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, all Hanukkah. That shit. Well, Hanukkah already happened. It's done.
But, you know, still have a happy one.
Have a happy post. Yeah. I hope that your Hanukkah was happy because it's not now. It's over. It's gone. It's over. It's done.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever.
But Merry Christmas. Hope you enjoyed watching us live on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. We're on three platforms now just running these live, son.
It's true.
It's fucking big time, bro.
Yeah, we do the thing where it gives us to all the other places. So we're here. And check us next week. Well, maybe next week.
No, not next week. Fuck off. Dan, this is it for the year.
Dan is leaving town. He's leaving.
No, I'm not. Neither am I. I'm going to be in my house. Don't come to my house thinking I'm not going to be here. I'm here.
I'm not going anywhere. Dude, why don't we just do one more?
You want to do one more?
I want to do a New Year's special. I want to do an end of year recap. And we talk about our favorite topics over the year. Because I have to be honest with you, I don't remember one single thing we discussed over the year 2020.
You were very absent this year. You probably brought 15 topics total for the year. You had a baby, and you were like, I can't fucking do this shit.
I was absent for the month of October. There's no doubt about that. And then there was a time in September I was kind of gone. And then there was that time in May and June.
And Valentine's
April Day was real tough for me. But you're right. Things happen, Dan. Okay? Podcast maybe is great, but life's better.
Let's record a podcast from Caleb's wedding.
That's an interesting idea. We can discuss.
Let's try it.
Well, thank you all for listening to the podcast. Have a good week. And a good...
We love you.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, talk to you next year, whatever.
Bye. Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy to shit, all right?